the my best friend.
Good evening, everyone. Thanks for joining us tonight. We're going to get this meeting started. I ask that we all rise for the pledge to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Miller, please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan.
Present.
Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Present.
Ms. Kwiatek.
Present.
Ms. Blair.
Present.
Ms. Leone.
Present.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Present.
And Mr. Cologne.
Present. Thank you, Mr. Miller. As you can see on the screen above me, Councilwomen Wilhelm and Laird are joining us remotely this evening. We're going to move on to public comment. As is custom, public comment is, if everyone's extended a 5-minute time limit. I will remind everyone before we enter public comment, this is your opportunity to address council. If anyone has questions, I skipped the approval of the minutes. So now we're on to the approval minutes for the July 2nd, 2024 meeting. Any comments on the July 2nd meeting for members of council? Seeing none, the minutes stand approved. Now back to where I've gotten ahead of myself. So for public comment, as is custom, everyone will get the courtesy of the floor who wishes to use it. It's everyone's opportunity to address council. We did move new business up earlier this year. So if someone has questions that maybe we need answers for during the meeting, I ask that you stick around when we get to new business, which is early on in the agenda, where we as council members may ask questions of the administration. And if I defer anyone to anyone in the administration who has questions that maybe is not within the scope of what council necessarily does hands-on, just about all of our city department heads are here, from the Director of Public Works, Water, our police chief. So if it's not something, if I think you'd be better served talking directly to that department head, I may defer you and refer you to that department head who could talk to you either during the meeting or after the meeting about whatever it is they came here for tonight. We'll start with any subject that's not being voted on. This is for anything that's not on the agenda. Again, I ask everyone to respect our 5-minute time limit. For our YouTube audience, if you want to watch the meeting live, I ask that you scroll ahead to the live portion of the meeting. We have five people who have signed up in advance, so I'll start with that. Starting with Lisa Sparrow.
Yes, thank you.
Hello, my name is Lisa Sparrow Sarina. I grew up in Fountain Hill. I currently live on. Thank you. I grew up in Fountain Hill. I currently live on Seneca Street. I am a proud resident of the south side of Bethlehem, and it is in an area known as Indian Hill. I am grateful to the City Council members for this opportunity to share our concerns with the community known as Indian Hill. I'm here representing people who are sick and couldn't make it. I'm here representing people who are working. And we are witnessing a revitalization of the south side of Bethlehem with many new businesses and housing opportunities, and there is a growing concern about the influx of people traveling. With big and medium-sized businesses like Lehigh University, Northampton Community College, Fowler Center, the Wind Creek Casino, Steel Stacks, and Wilbur Mansion, Sayer Mansion, and the St. Luke's Hospital bordering us, the south side infrastructure also needs a revitalization. As you know, the south side of Bethlehem is the most densely populated community in Bethlehem. We hear and see many accidents on our streets with people in cars, children in buses, people riding their bicycles, animals, and pedestrians. We believe that a traffic study was recently conducted for a stoplight on the corner of Cherokee and West 3rd Streets. We are asking that a traffic light study also be conducted for a stoplight at the three-way intersection of Seneca, West 3rd Street, and West 4th Streets. We need the help of City Council to ensure the safety of our communities. We are imploring that action be taken at the intersection of Cherokee and 3rd Street and Seneca and West 3rd and 4th Streets with, at best, a stoplight, crosswalks, or a flashing light, crosswalks, and speed bumps. In closing, I would like to ask your permission to approach the city council members to distribute petitions with signatures from our neighbors that live in the Indian Hill area who are in support of this request. There is also someone who initiated this with petitions. Her name is Angela Mitchell, and she could not be here. And at a later date, she would like to also reach out with the petitions that she got from the Cherokee Street. Mine are primarily from Seneca. For the safety and the welfare of our community, we look forward to working with you, and thank you so much again for your time.
Thank you, and you're more than welcome to give me anything you wanted to share with council. Our next speaker this evening is Mary Jo McCool.
Mary Jo McCool, 449 Grandview Boulevard. Two comments I want to express tonight. I first want to thank Chief Cott for the effort put forth regarding the 4th of July firework policy. Fireworks were still prevalent in my neighborhood. Police response was much better than in the past. I was grateful for the short-lived rain. Friday morning, my neighbor and I found spent bottle rocket debris in our yard and street. Grandview Boulevard is 70 feet wide, well short of the distance regulated by state law. Glendale Avenue is even narrower still. Fireworks continued Friday night. However, when police cars proceeded south on Grandview Boulevard, neighbors across the street saw the police car drive by, and the mother called her sons in and said, no fireworks tonight. I can provide the address if necessary. Overall, it was a much appreciated effort. Thank you again. My second comment refers to the availability of drinking water within the city. I totally agree a course of action needs to be addressed. My main concern is the budgetary impact on taxpayers. When I expressed my concerns at budget hearings in the fall, responses I received from some council members were, it's only $2 a month. I received the same response regarding the 8% sewer increase. The school district's increase is 3%. All told, those increases exceed any increase I received from Social Security twofold. We seniors are on fixed incomes. Some are better off than others. My point is, if estimates to repair fountains are excessive, that potentially puts many seniors and homeowners at risk. If these fountains are vandalized and become inoperable, restricting hours of operation and or security cameras might be options to explore. This again may not be cost effective. I realize these ideas will not sit well with some of the younger idealistic participants here tonight. If they are ever able to purchase a home, they will see the impact of rampant tax increases have on their household budgets. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. McCool. One thing I forgot to mention at the start of the meeting, Mayor Reynolds is coming from another commitment, so he may be joining us late this evening. Our next speaker signed up is Mr. R.E. Curtola.
Hi, I'm Artie Curatola, 813 Lawford Street, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. My thing is parliamentary procedures. A little over a year ago, I was considered anti-Semitic, and someone from the city council pushed that. The mayor went along with it. But the main thesis of why I was considered anti-Semitic was because I stated that Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, and we called the city of Bethlehem, named after him. We reinforced it by calling it the Christmas City. Now that's history. That is not anti-Semitic. I stated that we should follow that teaching of Jesus Christ. Look on your records on what I stated. I never said we should follow the teachings of Jesus Christ. I said that teaching upon being an example. And no matter who we are, whether we're Christian, whether we're Jewish, whether we're American Indian, Chinese, the other thing I stated was, you will never see a Jewish president, most likely. Whoa, they took it out of context. They didn't follow up what I said, because all the presidents were some form of Christian deity, and the majority were Irish. Even Obama has Irish blood. I stated that. I said you would never see an Italian president, because we're all considered connected to the mob. I stated also, the mob that was reinforced and changed was with Mayor Lansky, Bugsy Siegel, Gus Greenbaum, getting the money from Arnold Rothstein, all Jewish. That was considered anti-Semitic. That's history. That's factual. Look it up in the books. Us Italians, we should be complaining anti-Italianism. I stated that too. The thing is, back when 1776 was, the American Indians couldn't vote, the Chinese couldn't vote, anyone who was Christian, not Christian, could not vote. Hey, anti-Semitic? I hung out at Catch a Rising Star with Jerry Seinfeld and Adam Sandler. If I said anything anti-Semitic, Adam Sandler would have punched me out. No, anti-Semitic. Also, Sandra Elaine Hilvold was one of my best music associates, known as Ezra Mohawk. I was one of the 10 people that spoke at her funeral. Ezra Pine Box was next to me speaking. I went to, my attorney was Jay Sherline, who I performed at the Bethlehem Club for his 50th birthday party, and I was at the synagogue for his funeral. I was permitted to wear a hat. I can't do that in Catholic churches or any Christian things. Gotta take the hat off. Anti-Semitic, look at the statements that I did. That I said, everything was history facts, and it was twisted around. I never said we should follow the teachings of Jesus Christ. I said the teaching of that we must be an example. Jerry Dreeben had a studio in Philadelphia with me, also Jewish. I have two of the people that were great technology people that were working me on my record. They backed away, they were Jewish, when they read that statement. Look at the records. What did I say that's anti-Semitic in those records? Nothing. Everything was history, facts. Please take a look at the parliamentary procedures. They were not done properly back then, and destroyed my name in the Jewish community in Bethlehem. Look into it. I thank you very much, and God bless you.
Thank you, Mr. Caratola. Our next speaker this evening, Mr. Dubonis.
Good evening, everyone. I actually was at the July 2nd council meeting. Some of the council members were not present that night that are here tonight, but just to refresh, I was here speaking about Main Street Extension in particular and the safety issues that we're realizing on that street now. And as a former high school administrator, I used a lot of complaints, maybe not so many compliments, but I do want to compliment at least two people at City Hall that I've had contact with since that meeting. The first would be Sergeant Gershner, who's a Bethlehem Area Police Department member, and I believe, you can correct me, Chief, he's in charge of traffic, I'm assuming. He's also a great communicator, I have to tell you. He did a wonderful job We talked. He promised me there were three things we were looking for. And he promised me he would look into, an increased police presence on Main Street. And it was very simple, just by rerouting some of the people that are on Millicks Mill Road and Center Street, and using that street as a ways to meet, or means to travel rather than the way they were typically going. And in doing so, one of the officers actually noticed that the stop sign at the intersection of Main and Dewberry was completely obstructed by, trees and leaves and whatever. And he wrote up a report, turned it in, a work order, and it was removed fairly quickly. The second issue, I've been talking to another very, I thought, an outstanding employee, and this is Basil Yandam in the Public Affairs Office, also a great communicator. And I think, I don't know if Mr. Alcala is here, I've never met Mr. Alcala in person. Sir, he's really wonderful, I mean that, and you should be proud to have an employee like that under your jurisdiction. He also, he went out of his way to meet with me and talk to me, and I've been talking to him about one thing, is repainting the lines and whatnot on the Main Street extension, the directives. And he's looking into that. I think there's a great chance of that happening. And there are a couple other things that we're working towards, but I'm here primarily just to say that I think if you open up a meaningful dialogue and you come in and you're not demanding and you just talk to the people that are working here, they generally do a very good job. That's what I've been finding. I'm pleased to say that. I'm glad I can say something positive in a night that might not all be positive at this point, but nonetheless, thank you for having me, and I hope to see you all again. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dubonis. Our next speaker, Mr. Harry Faber. Is that much time, Harry Faber?
When talking about our economic system, capitalism, we can debate whether or not it's furthered or hindered progress, whether castes and groups of people it's helped at the expense of other castes and groups. But the elephant in the room, or the elephant in the system, I should say, is rarely addressed. The fundamental and unequivocal reason for America's economic prosperity, if you want to call it that, is solely due to the exploitation, subjugation, and brutalization of other human beings. Our economic system was built on slavery, and it continues to enslave humans both here and abroad. I know that most of you city officials are smart, very smart, much smarter than me perhaps. Therefore, you can't play ignorant. You're either for the enslavement and subjugation of other human beings for the benefit of yourselves, or you're against it. I hope you're against it. If you are, then let's fight it together. The fight begins with democracy. If we're going to have a democratic society, it needs to be democratic. Why is it that there are a lot of people like me who want to help, deliberate, and discuss the well-being of the city, but yet you are the only ones that have any power in the decision-making process regarding the allocation of our city's resources? This delegation system is not effective. It's corrupted, bought and paid for. If you are not self-interested, if you have the same desire, those who care will show up, and we can discuss and speak and communicate like a democracy should be, where we all hash it out like grown-ups. Because if we all want the same thing, the betterment of society, we have some common ground. I just want a better society, one where we value one another, one where we are compassionate for one another, where we try to understand and see the nuances, where we recognize that we each are people. Why is that so hard? It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be difficult to support each other. But because of greed, corruption, self-interest, ego, and lack of facing consequences, really, we've allowed the elites, the real minority, to completely dominate the working people, the working class, the majority. It's time to get rid of this hierarchical structure. Obviously, it's going to take time, but it starts by making bigger committees. Anybody who wants to be a part and give their precious time and work towards the betterment of society should be given the opportunity to do so. Other than just coming to city council meeting where we can just speak at you, this isn't democratic. You saw the amount of people that voted in the last local election. It wasn't much. The winning council members got around 5,700 votes each. But once people see that their vote does matter, that their participation in democracy matters, more and more people will come out. It'll be hard, but we'll figure it out together. We have technology. Why can't we try? Why can't we be a little revolutionary? I hate that he's not here every time I say it. I'm going to keep saying it, because that's what we learned at Moravian. But it seems that it's so fake. It's just a slogan. I'm taking it. I'm trying my damnedest, and no one can take that away from me. I'm not perfect, and I know that. I will never claim to be perfect, and I'm not saying that if you listen to me, we'll have a perfect utopian society. But it's a matter of actually trying. And you're lying to yourself if you think you are.
Thank you, Mr. Faber. That exhausts our list of who has signed up in advance, so I'll go around the room. Again, this is public comment for anything that we're not voting on this evening. Was there anyone to the left who wanted to make comment to council? I turn to the wide center. Was there a yes in the middle row?
My name's Olivia. Should I come to the front?
Please. Just so the microphone can catch it for the record and our vast YouTube audience.
This is my first city council meeting in Bethlehem. I'm from from Doylestown area, but I live in 507 First Avenue, Bethlehem. I read over...
Do you mind saying your name for the record?
Oh, Olympia Ransom.
Thank you.
I read over the strategic plan for the Bethlehem homelessness plan, and I realize that we don't really have a set out plan to address the issue in full. I know that there's First Presbyterian Church putting up a affordable housing right across the street from Center Street, but I'm worried that the millionaires on Center Street who are against the plan, raising $20,000, I think it is, to not have the affordable housing go up instead of investing in making the area a safer area. Not that the homeless have anything to do with the crime rate, really, but there's 686 homeless. I actually live on the north side right near it. I walk every single day to school where I go, Lehigh University. I'm walking across the DNL trail, and I see these people who have been staying there for years and years. I'm actually making a short film reaching out to the Presbyterian Church, professors around the area, city council members, hopefully, some journalists, the actual homeless themselves, and listening to their stories. Some of them have been there for years, some have been on the wait list for years, and it seems like we care more about affordable housing rather than actual permanent shelters, not just emergency shelters. The emergency shelters are great and they do the work that should be done, but really we need a permanent shelter that's not going to be fought against, that is not near other residential areas so people can't complain about the property values, and make more green spaces around, stop the development processes that happen around Lehigh University. Even though I go to Lehigh University, I still think that we're kind of buying out the entire town. The student housing has kind of gone on a rampage and it's taking over the entire city, but we're not caring about housing for the homeless who have been here the longest in some cases. Personally, just want to know what's going to happen, especially in the light of the Supreme Court ruling, making it up to the states themselves to basically criminalize poverty, allowing them to arrest and fine homeless people, which I think is absolutely deplorable. And I'm hoping that Bethlehem doesn't follow suit as other states are, where they're going to basically criminalize poverty. Thank you.
Thank you. And as I stated at the top of the meeting, you're welcome to hang out after the meeting to talk to any members of council, our Deputy Director of Community Development, Ms. Tula, who's there in the front row, and happy to try to get information we can for you.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else in the Broad Center? Mr. Hathi?
Hello, my name is Bud Hackett. I live in Bethlehem. And I want to talk about something that which has come up recently in some community meetings. And that is the concern that as you look at recent appointments or appointments in the past couple of years to the city's boards, commissions, and authorities, there seems to be, and I won't share with you all the names and data tonight, but there seems to be a preponderance of political people and government people that get appointed to these entities. And with 88,000 people in the city and many, many people who I see express a real concern for the city of Bethlehem, I think there's more than just close friends of the administration that could have an opportunity to serve in a somewhat non-political way and help advise the city on topics that are very important, whether they're boards, commissions, or authorities. So I would ask council if they would consider, in your watchdog role, I think you have that as a role, that we look at improved outreach to people in the community to determine if there is expertise to sit and join some of these activities, and also look at how political and unnecessary some of the appointments have become. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hackett. Was there anyone else in the broad center who has any comment from the front?
Hello, Valerie Noonan. Most of you don't know me, but I will keep it short today. I just wanted to reiterate my commitment to urging you to repair the water fountains. The last meeting I was here, I did have a conversation with a few of the council members that was encouraging to me and gave a few more details about the actual plans to get those repairs completed. So it's really just thank you, keep it up. I hope that that can be resolved fairly soon. I believe the news has been reporting that this could be the hottest day of the year. My phone was telling me it was 97 degrees outside my apartment, and it certainly felt that way. Went on a 20-minute walk just about and had a killer headache for the rest of the afternoon because it was that hot. I'll say I am an idealist. I'm not really an optimist, and that's part of why I think this is important, because I see how many people do not have homes. I see how many people are required to spend parts of their lives outdoors, whether just through working, getting from place to place, or because they don't have other places to go. And I don't really expect to buy a home in my lifetime. That would be really nice. But anyway, thank you very much.
Thank you. Well, is there anyone else in the Wide Center who wants to make comment on anything not being voted on this evening? I'll turn to the right. Is there anyone to the right who wants to make comment? Well, that's going to conclude our first public comment. Moving on to our second public comment. This is for anything that's on the agenda tonight. Mr. Favor, who is our first person signed up?
So I'm sure you guys have all been like the opening doors meetings and whatnot. And one of the things is that we always talk about at the opening doors is not having land to build affordable housing on. And I'm not saying don't sell the Allen Township property to the family. Correct me if I'm wrong, it's right next to their home, right? I'm not saying don't sell it to them, but my point is I'm sure there's plenty of other properties like that one not being utilized that could be utilized by the city. We just have to look in, figure it out, and you know what? Trying isn't the right word, because trying gives you an excuse for failure. We need to start doing it. We need to take action. We need to do it. We need to figure it out. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Faber. Our next speaker signed up is Ms. Anna Smith.
Good evening. My name is Anna Smith. I live at 631 Ridge Street in South Bethlehem, and I'm the Director of Community Action Development Bethlehem. Working on housing issues and neighborhood issues throughout the South Side and a few of our other neighborhoods in the city. So I wanted to speak this evening about the future of the Bethlehem Housing Authority. I've been working with BHA residents on community projects for the last 8 years, and throughout this time I have repeatedly encountered challenges with the institution's antiquated policies and approach to promoting housing justice, which is a fundamental component of the organization's mission, or should be. As the housing crisis deepens in the city, ensuring that the BHA is equipped with best practices and tools to access funding opportunities to expand and improve on our existing public housing infrastructure is essential. And the greatest potential for addressing the most significant housing needs of our most vulnerable residents lies directly in the effectiveness of our public housing system. and my involvement as a partner of the Lingfield Community Center, a subgrantee of the Choice Neighborhoods Planning Grant, and you know, working day to day with residents of the VHA community has really highlighted for me the importance of acting now to increase the capacity, oversight, and accountability of the VHA to its mission, to its residents, and to our broader community's needs. So the VHA is governed by a board of five. They oversee all of our public housing infrastructure here in the city of Bethlehem, as well as our Housing Choice Voucher Program. And that group of five is limited by HUD regulations. So it's a very small board with a huge task ahead of them. Board members for the VHA really require a unique combination of skills to be successful, including the capacity to understand and interpret HUD guidelines, which are not a real lot of fun to read and deal with, I can assure you. And then also be able to simultaneously possess sort of the on-the-ground knowledge of the impact of these policies on residents of the VHA developments. And so the next appointment to this board will be crucial in the way that the VHA evolves over the next several years. You know, through my work, I have come to believe that, you know, Rachel Leon, who I know is nominated this evening, is an ideal candidate for this position, given her experience with board governance, deep understanding of our affordable housing landscape, and existing connections with residents of the VHA community and the institutions that work alongside them. The modernization of our public housing system begins at the board level, and we need a strong, thoughtful, and dedicated group of individuals to ensure that the thousands of Bethlehem residents served by the VHA are treated with dignity. And I fully support the nomination of Rachel Leon to this position. I believe that few others within the Bethlehem community, and believe me, you know, we've looked as someone who fully supports the idea of diversifying all of our authorities, boards, and commissions as much as humanly possible, regularly, as someone who's out in the community talking with residents, you know, asking folks to please step up and volunteer and serve. This is a very challenging appointment to find someone for, and I believe, you know, few others are as well positioned as Rachel to take this on. I think that, you know, as the VHA assumes a key role in our city's plan to address our affordable housing crisis and care for the residents that are most vulnerable in our community, this is one of our most crucial steps, this appointment that you make this evening. And so just wanted to lend my support here and thank all of you for all the work that you're doing to support housing justice throughout our Bethlehem community. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Ms. Smith. Excuse me. So that exhausts our list for the second public comment this evening. Again, I'll go around the room for anything that is being voted on tonight. Was there anyone to the left who wants to make comment on anything on tonight's agenda? Is there anyone in the center who wants to make comment on anything that's being voted on this evening? And last, I turn to the right. Sir, I see a hand. Welcome.
I'm the president of Bethlehem Firefighters, Local 735. This may seem repetitive to some. You may have heard this earlier. But I'm going to speak on would be line item 9G, which is Bill 25-2024, the budget adjustment for Fire Academy Cadets. Stand before you today to express the local strong support for the proposed bill to transfer funds to facilitate the hiring of 9 personnel for the Bethlehem Fire Department. The funding is crucial to bring our staffing levels closer to what has been budgeted for 2024. Upon recruits completing the Fire Academy, this will assist us in alleviating the current reliance on excessive overtime, which has been straining both our personnel and our financial resources. Our department has faced considerable challenges due to understaffing. It doesn't only impact the well-being and efficiency of our current firefighters, but being passive on hiring processes. Many positions are open, it can also pose a risk to public safety. By approving this transfer of funds, this will play an instrumental role in enhancing our operational capacity and ensuring the safety and protections of the citizens of the city. We're confident that this investment will yield significant benefits in terms of improved service delivery, enhanced morale among our firefighters, and overall cost savings through the reduction of overtime expenses. We urge council to initially approve this budget adjustment to support the long-term sustainability and effectiveness of the Bethlehem Fire Department. Over the last year, Local 735 has drastically improved our communications with the administration, from the mayor's office to council, all the way down. Furthermore, since the appointment of Chief Reich as fire chief, the local and fire administration have tirelessly collaborated to ensure that we're doing the best we can for our firefighters and for our community. For that, I give credit to the Local 735 Executive Board and the fire administration. These efforts made by all are instrumental in addressing many challenges and continue to drive our efforts to provide exceptional service to our citizens. Thank you for your attention to this matter, and we look forward to an approval on this budget transfer. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Jimenez. Was there anyone else to the right who wants to comment on anything we're voting on tonight? That will conclude our second public comment. Moving on to old business. Any old business from members of council?
I just had a question because some constituents have asked me for administration regarding the Walnut Street garage. People have asked why a certain area is yet to be demolished. Is there a reason? Does it have to be demolished in a different way? The area that is closest to the Verizon building? I don't know who can address that, if anyone.
I believe there's some equipment there that is going to be relocated to a place at the adjacent lot next to the ATT building there. And I think until that is relocated, they just had to work around that.
So that's a hold up, that they have to relocate the equipment?
Right, that's critical infrastructure for the surrounding neighborhood. And so they, early on, after much discussion among Verizon, city and the authority and the other stakeholders, determined that they could continue with the demolition but work around that area until such time as that's relocated to a new place on the lawn there, right at the corner, that little bit of a park-like area. That's where that equipment's going to be relocated to.
Great, thank you.
That's from weeks ago when I heard about that. Really not my field, but that's okay. What I happen to remember from hearing from the park authority back at that time.
People in the area just have asked, reached out because they're just curious as to why it sort of stopped, and there's one area still standing. So the other question, and I think this would probably be for Ms. Collins, is there any update on the area, the garage, that is not going to be for parking, like the residential area?
I believe I had sent an email a few weeks back, but I can just reiterate, the Bethlehem Parking Authority did vote at their last, I believe it was their last meeting, to enter into a memorandum of understanding with a firm to complete the westernmost portion of the garage.
And the other question that has been asked of me is, will the developer or whoever have to go before the historic HARB again regarding the plan?
Yes, absolutely. So as I said, there's a memorandum of understanding, and what will happen from there is that selected developer will put together, you know, actual land development plans. They will need to have approval from both the city and the parking authority before they even then submit those for the formal review process that any other developer would go through, which would include Planning Commission review. It would also include the historic review by HARB, and then you would see here at City Council a vote for a certificate of appropriateness as well.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Callahan, do you have additional?
Yeah, I just got two quick questions. So, does the not the delay in that upper eastern side, does that delay the opening of the garage?
My understanding from Mr. Fernstrom, the director of the Parking Authority, is that no, the project is not expected to go past the date, which was Christmas of 2025.
All right, and then my last question was the since we've decided, or the Parking Authority has decided on one of the four applicants, which applicant won it with how many units is going in the waste box?
So it was Ironside is the name of the firm that was identified in the memorandum of understanding, and as we had said before, what we we received and reviewed collectively in response to the RFP were concepts, ideas. I believe that project had a little bit over 100 units in it as proposed as a concept. But as I had just said, there will still need to go through actually developing a full plan, engineered drawings. They'll have to go to HARB. There's many steps along the way where that number could change based on conversations with the Parking Authority, with the city, or with HARB and City Council.
So the proposal that they submitted, how many numbers were on the proposal?
It was a little over 100, to be honest. I don't remember the exact number at this moment.
Mayor, are you aware of that at all?
I think it was a little over 100.
Because I know there was one that was 40, and one was 180.
It's not the one that was 180. Right. And it's not the one that was 40.
All right, thank you.
Any other old business from members of council? Thank you, Ms. Collins. Thank you, Mr. Spurk. Just want to acknowledge Mayor Reynolds is with us, as we just heard. Moving on to new business, I will accept a motion and then a second from council to reschedule our next city council meeting, which is scheduled for Tuesday, August 6th, from our typical 7 p.m. start time to 5:30 p.m., since this meeting occurs during the week of Music Fest.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Councilwoman Kwiatek, second by Councilman Callahan. Any discussion on the motion? Mr. Miller, please call the roll.
Ms. Francie Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Just a couple scenarios I wanted to bring up during new business before I open it up, as is customary. Well, one, I would thank Councilwoman Leon for presiding over the last council meeting, as I was tied up at my day job all night that night, so couldn't be here. And then just want to briefly address some of our unfortunate national news and here in Pennsylvania as it relates to the incident with former President Trump. And just as a whole, reiterate some of the things I spoke about at City Council before here in the past. And, we heard from one of the speakers tonight, someone said they weren't perfect. I'll be the first to always admit I'm not perfect either. We heard some things tonight during public comment, kind of rehashing previous comments as it relates to things that I don't think are very constructive as it relates to city business, things that relate to the business of City Council. And we're always trying to balance that First Amendment from everyone up here, the people come to speak at the lectern, with our council rules and Robert's rules and things like that. And while I admit I'm not perfect today, nor tomorrow, nor ever, I will always try to be an advocate for civility and decorum as it relates to what we can control here in our city council chambers. Anyone who reads anything, especially social media, knows that now, like other times in our history, things just get so heated, so toxic, so divisive, and we hear these terms thrown around all the time, but then we witness them. We witness and read people we know commenting certain ways online, people we work with, people we do business with, people who come here to council and choose to communicate a certain kind of way that I just don't think is constructive to any conversations that we ever have. So I will continue to ask everyone, while we be mindful of what we can control here in the city of Bethlehem, here in town hall as we execute city business, to continue to try to be that model and example for civility and decorum as we continue to disagree, whether it be tonight or the next meeting or any future meetings. And I'll continue to do my best to lead by example in that regard as it relates to sitting here in the center as city council president. So any other new business for members of council?
I have some stuff. But
Councilwoman Leon, I'm looking to my right.
Sorry. I had a question about maybe looking forward with the polls and all the extreme weather that we've had lately with the heat, maybe going into next year, if we have the ability to start thinking about opening our pools, maybe not our main pool, but some of the pocket park pools, and or maybe a hydrant day. I know that our pools get hyper utilized, but as the weather continues to heat up, if that's something that we can get to.
Yeah, so we've obviously had that conversation. This topic has come up in the past. I mean, the challenges, I think,
what, and you kind of referenced this, is the high utilization of our pools now. This conversation has also come up as far as like what our pool rates are. And I think it's part of the larger conversation that we have going forward about, and I'm kind of making these numbers up, but if, you know, the pay structure right now pays for $100,000 out of the $200,000 it costs to run the pools, that's what our current rates get us. If that's a collective decision from City Council and us to say, we're going to lower the rates and then just subsidize it with another 30, 40, 50, I'm just making up the concept. The challenge with, and this is what's happened in the past too, is there's some places like Memorial that are already at capacity with people paying. So if you run into that, people have passes, they have family passes, they have daycares that have lined up and things like that. So I think it's an overall conversation, I think, about what we want to, and even our neighborhood pools. And we were looking at the numbers. They've had a very, very high utilization rate. So you start running into just some different concepts there, like you try to extend the pools or open them earlier, but then you run into how many hours are your teenagers working when they're only allowed to work so many hours. So then you need more lifeguards potentially for, so there's just a lot of different moving parts as far as like the pools are concerned. That is an absolute conversation that is City Council's decision as well about what we necessarily want to charge as far as what we want to subsidize those pools for with taxpayer dollars. And like I said, I don't know what that exact percentage is, but that's always kind of been the balancing act. And then there's some other things that I think, and if you know, we could have Mr. Vascola explain some of the challenges with the fire hydrant situation. But it is something that we're absolutely open to a conversation about in the future. But I think it goes along with a lot of the conversation other council members have had about, like, how do we set up our pay structure for our pools? And I think that Mr. Alcohol or Ms. Evans had sent that memo over some of the things that we're doing with the school district and some of the other groups, which is good. But I think the whole how do we handle really hot days is really connected on a global scale to how we handle the rates for the whole summer. Because it's really hard just to be like, okay, we're going to flip this and make this free or whatever because of some of those issues.
I think it's a conversation worth having in a, kind of like an open forum with the community, so maybe a committee meeting or something with parks. But it's just something that I saw other cities do, and I know if they can do it, we can do it too. The other question I had was one I want to shout out to the Cherokee and the Seneca area for coming. And give a big shout out to the health department that has addressed a lot of the issues that we've seen out in Cherokee and Seneca with climate and stuff like that. But there was a question about traffic studies. So can you kind of walk me through what triggers a traffic study, or if there are streets that we cannot do traffic studies on, or if there's any additional information that we can get that would help make a traffic study possible? Also, do we have a traffic person yet? Do we have a...
Unfortunately, we don't. We have not replaced the traffic coordinator as of yet. We're still working diligently to do that. But I mean, traffic study can be conducted for various reasons. It depends on what the concern is and what the need is. If the concern is speeding, obviously you do speed surveys. If the concern is crashes at intersections, we can do traffic counts to see if an intersection meets the warrants for either two or four-way stop or signalized. That's basically what would prompt us to do a traffic study.
So when you're talking about light crashes, so if there are crashes that are like kind of like fender benders and people don't want to wait for the cops, so that wouldn't be included in the data that we use to trigger a traffic
study? Those would be what we call non-reportable. May not be any records that we can refer to or access. Now, accidents are they're used to sometimes be able to implement measures that would be normally permitted. Most of what is implemented is based on hardcore, like speeding surveys. That sort of thing is what would dictate what type of traffic controls are applicable to any particular corridor, street, or intersections.
Right.
Cherokee Street is challenging. It's a collector street. We hear a lot of complaints about speeding. I have to touch base with our staff to see if we're planning any speed survey, it's difficult to understand how people speed on that street because there's stops every so often. We are definitely open to looking at it closely, and anything that could be implemented by way of traffic calming or traffic safety or pedestrian improvements, we would certainly pursue more.
Thank you. And again, I want to thank the health department because there was some issues with signage, which is probably what helped people speed along that route that they have been able to address. But there is a little bit of additional help needed, and also a big thank you to Basil, who has not missed the community meeting and continues to show up and address as many concerns as the community members have. I know he's wearing a lot of hats right now, but his work does not go unnoticed. Thank you.
To those who are unaware, Mr. Alcall is our director of public works. Now, we typically speak to everyone up here because we know everybody, but to the audience, Mr. Alcall is our director of public works. I'm just going to work my way down the aisle for new business. Thank you, Mr. Alcall.
No, I just want to make a comment, a quick comment.
If you want to make a quick comment, Mr. Callahan.
So there's, I think maybe traffic studies don't take a long time. I think a quick fix could be that if you're on the western part of the Fountain Hill area, you're heading east towards Wyandotte. I think if I remember correctly, I think there's a right turn there. It's pretty, it's not a right angle.
You're heading on what street are you on?
Right as you hit Seneca, I think it would be Wyandotte, or no. Delaware. I think there's a right turn right there. So I think they come flying around that corner. Getting out of there, and I think if we could just put a sign there, like slow or pedestrian crossings, temporarily, because I think a traffic study is going to take a long time. Correct?
It depends, but yeah, certainly if that's applicable, we'd look at that. We certainly would.
I drive on that road a lot, and I know that cars do come flying out of the, especially the visitors that are in the St. Luke's. They turn left there and they come flying around that corner, because a lot of people stay a little bit longer than they're supposed to, and they're looking to get back to an appointment or back to work because they're visiting someone at the hospital. I think it's just, right now, I think it's more of a speed issue with them flying around that corner, and it's not a good situation. I agree with you.
We'll certainly be happy to look at that. The only thing I would caution is signage sometimes, especially after time. You would hope that motorists obey and comply with signage, but sometimes that's not the case, which is why sometimes we opt for more hardcore measures like speed humps or things like that, if they're applicable.
Thank you, Mr. Alcorn. Ms. Kwiatek?
Yes, thank you very much. First of all, Councilman Leon sort of kicked off one of the conversations that I wanted to have, which was about what we're doing in the brutal heat. And the pools are a piece of that, but I think that there are a lot of people, and first of all, you can't stay at a pool for, like 9 hours or whatever, however long they do close. My concern is perhaps more along the lines of our unhoused folks and other people who do need to be outside, and places just for them to be able to get in and cool off and maybe find some water. So I did send an email to several department heads today, and I appreciated the response that I got from Ms. Santoro. One of the things that she mentioned is there are some nonprofits, such as New Bethany, that have community centers and things like that. And then the other place she mentioned was the libraries, which, of course, I think we all know are a refuge for our unhoused folks, and in particular this time of year and when it's very cold also. So I did want to point that out, and also suggest that as we get into budget season and we do start talking about this, I don't think it's going to get much cooler during our summers in the near future. So perhaps thinking ahead to next summer, we can be more strategic with some opportunities to open some emergency cooling centers of some kind in the city, or work closely with the library to make sure that folks are getting what they need if they come in and they're particularly hot and things like that.
there could be some concern there. I appreciate the Health Bureau's work to push out precautionary statuses and warnings, and for the city to be part of that effort as well. I do appreciate that. Of course, the water fountains, that discussion we were discussing in the park planning process, that hopefully the grant that was given to do a master plan for our parks, that could be more of a conversation. I lost track of what else I wanted to say. That's it for now. That was my main concern.
Thank you, Ms. Quiesa. Councilwoman Ramsey Smith.
Thank you. I was just going to reiterate, thank you for coming out and bringing everything to our attention. Anything that we could do, Chief Cotton's job call to try to address. I know speeding is an issue throughout the whole city. It's pretty bad, but it sounds like it's definitely bad over in the Indian Hill area. And I agree also with Councilwoman Kwiatek. It seems like, the heat is becoming as, if not more dangerous than the cold weather at this point, and it doesn't look like there's going to be an end in sight as far as our summers go. So I think that we're going to have to try to put our heads together and figure out what we can do to help our house folks in the summer. I know we did get a memo that the library is open and in conjunction with the city, and that's really great that that's available for our folks, so that's a plus. But I think we're going to have to try to focus on not only just the cold weather, but the hot weather also.
I just thought of when you thank the folks over here. I wanted to give a special shout out to Angela Mitchell, because I think she's been so steadfast in coming here, and you may not be aware of the fact that she's come to numerous meetings and brought up many of these concerns, and some of the movement and the change that has taken place is really to her credit in a large degree. And thank you all for coming out.
Any other new business from members of council?
I actually do have a question.
Is Councilwoman Laird?
Yes.
The floor is yours.
Thank you. So first of all, thanks. I haven't been at a council meeting since the big storm came through and took down so many trees and caused so much havoc throughout the city. So thank you to everybody who's been involved in cleaning that up and replanting and all of the things that go along with that. My question about that stuff is, just like hot weather is likely going to be a more frequent occurrence, strong storms are also increasing in their frequency. And driving around town, it seems that there's some uncertainty from residents about what to do with limbs or tree debris that comes down. Particularly if it's in the right-of-way area along the side of the road, like the grass strip or in the gutter, et cetera. So I know Union Boulevard has a ton of sycamore branches down still. And I think those would be the residents' responsibility to clean up, but I just wanted to verify that and figure out what they should do if they don't have the resources to get rid of it themselves.
Generally, face of curb back towards the property is property owner's responsibility. Anything that would be in the cartway would be the city to clean up. We try not to get, go overboard. I mean, if there's something that's on both, we would, during the height of the response, we certainly, pick up everything to be as helpful as possible to the residents. But the biggest problem we have, and that's some of what you're observing, is after we do the cleanup, residents are somewhat confused as to what to do. And it's a difficult task. I mean, we have our hands full, but they do as well. But they're to arrange for their, removal of any trees that are felt on their property. They could either call tree outfit, or if they have the wherewithal, they could, depending on the extent of what's involved, the small branch or not, they can take it to a compost center, for example, and they can, if they have equipment for that, or they, you know, to transport there, or get help with it, but that's basically what is expected.
Okay, so at this point from the previous storm, if there's something that's still down, is it safe to assume that that is the property owner's responsibility to clear at this point, that the city's kind of done with the regular cleanup?
And we're following up with all those property owners. We've sent them letters, okay. And we're working with them to try to address them. And at the end of the day, if something can be resolved, we'll step in as needed.
Awesome, thank you. I'm glad that there's been communication underway. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Councilwoman Laird. Any other new business from members of council? Mr. Callahan?
Well, I got a quick question, too. So, from the Greenway up to Lehigh, where we did all that additional sidewalk work, who's responsible for the weeds? I mean, the weeds are, like, totally overgrown. I mean, like, they've been cut, like, a month and a half. On both sides, from the Greenway going up towards Farrington Square.
I mean, if it's public space or public property, it's our grounds, folks, that would be.
So if you go up the sidewalk and the roads on the right, it's between the sidewalk and the curb, and where, you know, where those little trees are.
Within the Greenway corridor, or
no, from the Greenway up to.
It would be a property owner. I'll take a look and we'll follow up with that property owner.
Yeah, we do like a foot and a half high on both sides.
Yeah, we'll have to follow up with the property owner.
All right, thank you.
Any other new business from members of council? Thank you again, Mr. Alcohol. We're going to move on with our agenda. Communications, Mr. Miller, Communications 6A.
June 27, 2024 memorandum from Stephen Repash, Executive Director of the Bethlehem Authority, with an attached resolution. Mr. Repash reports that the Authority Board unanimously approved the sale of 1.04 acres in Allen Township to Michael and Pamela Eisenreich for $81,000. The Authority is seeking City Council approval for this sale as required by Section 7.06 of the Bond Trust Indenture. The property was part of the East Allen Township well water system, which was purchased in 2013. Property no longer serves any purpose to the Authority or the City of Bethlehem water system because the area is now served with water from the city's main water system.
Resolution 10A is on the agenda tonight. Communication 6B.
July 3rd, 2024 memorandum with proposed resolution from Edward Boscola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources, requesting the destruction of records from his department. Mr. Boscola has reviewed the Municipal Records Retention Act, and records listed on the exhibit accompanying the memo fall within the categories where destruction is permitted.
And a resolution will be placed on the August 6th Council Agenda. Communication 6C.
July 7th, 2024 memorandum from Police Chief Michelle Cott with an attached resolution and agreement for the purchase of a duty weapon by a retired officer of the Bethlehem Police Department. Pursuant to the Third Class City Code, retired officers may purchase the duty firearms at fair market value.
And Resolution 10C is on the agenda tonight. 6D.
July 9th, 2024 memorandum from Edward Boscola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources. Mr. Boscola recommends a contract with Spots, Stevens, and McCoy of Reading to perform a risk and resilience assessment of the city's water system. This assessment is required every 5 years and is due in March. The cost is $23,000. The contract shall run from the notice to proceed until March 31st, 2025. There are no renewals. The contractor was selected based on price and knowledge of the city's system. Spots, Stevens, and McCoy conducted the previous assessment 5 years ago.
Resolution 10D is on the agenda. Communication 6D.
A July 9th, 2024 memorandum with proposed resolution from Police Chief Michelle Cott. Chief Cott recommends an agreement with Via Media of Bethlehem to provide advertising services to create and display recruitment advertisements through web-based media for the police department. Plus $20,000 for production and delivery. Contract will run from September through December of 2024. There are no renewals.
Resolution 10 is on the agenda. Communication 6F.
July 9th, 2024 memorandum from City Solicitor John F. Spurk Jr. with an attached use permit agreement and resolution. Permittee is ArtsQuest and the event is the 2024 Pizza Fest. The event time is noon to 7 p.m. on September 29th. The duration of the permit is from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. on September 29th. The specified premises is First Street from Polk Street to the Eastern Terminus and Founders Way between First and Second Streets.
And Resolution 10F is on the agenda. Communication 6G.
A July 9th, 2024 memorandum from City Solicitor John F. Spurk Jr. with an attached use permit agreement and resolution. Permittee is the Bradbury Sullivan LGBT Community Center, and the subpermittee is Arts Quest. The event is 2024 Lehigh Valley Pride. The event time is 2 to 7 p.m. on August 18th. The duration of the permit is from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. on August 18th. Specified premises is First Street from Polk Street to Eastern Terminus, Founders Way between First and Second Streets.
And Resolution 10G is on the agenda. Communication 6H.
A July 10th, 2024 memorandum from City Solicitor John F. Spurk Jr. with an attached amended use permit agreement and resolution. Permittee is Arts Quest. The amendment would add an additional date to the 2024 Steel Stacks Gated Summer Concert Series. The additional event time is 6 to 10 p.m. on September 8th. Duration is noon to midnight on September 8th. Specified premises of First Street from Polk Street to the Eastern Terminus and Founders Way between First and Second Streets.
Resolution 10H is on tonight's agenda. Communication 6I.
A July 10th, 2024 memorandum from City Solicitor John F. Spurk Jr. with an attached amended lease agreement and resolution. The agreement is between the City and Allen Beth Associates Limited Partnership and others to renew terms and conditions to lease land behind the Stefco Shopping Center to provide additional parking spaces for the general public.
Resolution 10H is on the agenda. 6J.
A July 19th, 2024 memorandum and proposed resolution from Laura Collins, Director of Community and Economic Development. Memorandum seeks permission to apply for a grant of up to $1 million from the State Department of Community and Economic Development, requesting funds for the construction of sidewalks located in Northside Alive Neighborhood and Southside Business District.
Resolution 10I is on the agenda this evening. 6K.
A July 10th, 2024 memorandum and proposed resolution from Laura Collins, Director of Community and Economic Development. Memorandum seeks permission to apply for a $1.85 million grant from the state DCED, requesting funds for the construction of West Broad Street renovations.
Resolution 10J is on tonight's agenda. Last communication, 6L.
A July 5th, 2024 memorandum with proposed resolution from Police Chief Michelle Cott, requesting the destruction of records from her department. Chief Cott has reviewed the Municipal Records Retention Act and records listed on the exhibit accompanying the memo fall within the categories where destruction is permitted.
And a resolution will be on the August 6th City Council agenda. Thank you, Mr. Miller. Moving on to reports. There's one item to report this evening. We're going to have our continuation of the curative amendment hearing that we had earlier this summer. That's going to be continued at 6 p.m. on Wednesday, July 31st, 2024, here in Town Hall. Again, this hearing is a continuation of the curative amendment hearing of April 30th that was requested by a petition submitted by BAHX LLC. The curative amendment requested removing any building length limitation from the CL district. At this time, I will ask our solicitor, Stephanie Stewart. Well, that's my mistook. Not at this time. I'll be, but at a later time, we're going to conduct the curative amendment hearing. We're going to continue conducting it as we did the last time. And Attorney Stewart will go over that process on July 31st. That was all I had to report this evening. Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. A couple things. One is I was a bit late today. I was over at Arts Quest. There was, if you get a chance, the Love Letters to Bethlehem, a little short film. It's about 15, 20 minutes long, featuring many of our small businesses, explaining why they love the city of Bethlehem. I really highly encourage it. We had an event there kind of highlighting some of those small businesses. Bernie Fritz Night, if you're interested, is next Wednesday at 6 p.m. Over at Bernie Fritz Park, usually one of the highlights of the summer. And also last week, we had our exciting announcement with Music Fest and the Parking Authority Atlanta about the shuttles during Music Fest that are going to essentially be free
to be able to get around during Music Fest, which has been a long time coming. It was supported by the Parking Authority. They're the ones that are the ones that are paying for the majority of that. So it's really going to be able to move people around Music Fest safer, easier, and be able to take more and more cars off the road during that time period. One of the things I talked about is, you know, one of the joys of Music Fest and people, why people love it so much, is that the people get to own the streets during that time period. So anything we can do to take as many cars off the road as we can during the time period, for a lot of reasons, is something that we are highly highly encouraging, and also that we're very excited about. And then I think I was going to one, just a couple comments to Councilwoman Kwiatek. One of the other things that we did not mention too, that is a testament to our Community Connections program, is a lot of the individual relationships we have with many of our unhoused individuals, as do the other nonprofits, which is often kind of the front line understanding what some of the issues that sometimes people are, and because we have those kind of open lines of communication, because some of the nonprofits like New Bethany do, it's really something that we're proud of. That relationship building that goes on not only helps to get people services throughout the year, but when things like the heat wave happen, it allows for trusting relationships that will allow for that. So that's something that we are proud of as well. And the Community Connection Program is going to keep trying to establish those relationships and help people where they are to be able to address situations like this that come up as far as the heat is concerned. And then I only have one administrative order today. I hereby appoint Rachel Leone, 946 East 5th Street, Bethlehem, PA, 18050 in the Bethlehem Housing Authority, and this appointment is effective through March 2021.
Administrative order for Rachel Leone to be appointed to the Bethlehem Housing Authority. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Kwiatek and Mr. Colon.
Discussion on the appointment?
Yes, Mr. Colon, quick comment.
I'm going to give the floor to Ms. Leone first as the appointee, and then I will turn to you, Ms. Wilhelm.
Sure. Hi, it's me. I'm the one on the chopping block tonight. So I had asked to be appointed to the Bethlehem Housing Authority. It's after careful consideration and all of the work that we've done over the past 3 years. I'm afforded a very unique opportunity as a disabled veteran to kind of manage my time as I see fit. I'm very limited in what I can do as work, so because of that, I choose to spend a lot of time in the community. And as such, I've worked with people in the Bethlehem Housing Authority a lot. I have helped people navigate situations where they were about to get kicked out of their home. So there's just some things that I've seen. I feel like I can bring at least a very real community-minded approach onto the Bethlehem Housing Authority. I'm not sure exactly what expertise people are looking for when it comes to being on the Housing Authority. I don't have a degree in housing. I flew aircrafts, I helped with aircrafts. But what I did in the military was, I was an operations specialist. We gather, process, evaluate, and disseminate information. That's not much different than what you do on any board. You gather the information, you process the information, and you make the best decisions that you can. I'm not sure what other qualifications would be necessary for it, but I mean, that's what my Ribbon Rack says. I know how to follow instructions, and I know how to point out when these instructions are not being followed and how that might hurt people that are on the receiving end of these guidelines that we're given. That's it. That's all I want to say about it. I would appreciate the consideration. I will be recusing myself from this vote. This is a decision that council must make.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Councilwoman Wilhelm?
For all the reasons you just heard and heard earlier tonight, I'm confident that she will be appointed, but I just wanted to add to the record my strong support of Ms. Leone for this role. As was stated, she is quite uniquely qualified to contribute positively to the BHA board and to serve equitably and effectively on it. I think on such a small board, it's crucial to really make the most of each seat, and this appointment does that. I'm pleased to cast my vote in support. Just wanted to add that. Thanks, President Colon.
Thank you. Just any other comment on the resolution? We'll go to Councilman Cramsey Smith and then Ms. Kwiatek.
Well, I have some concerns, and I have to say that first of all, my concerns are entirely about a potential conflict of interest, as well as bad public policy for having anyone as a council member being appointed to the Bethlehem Housing Authority, and that it has nothing to do at all with Councilwoman Leone or the individual being considered. We already have council members as liaisons to all of our authorities, including the BFHA. Historically, as far as I can recall, council has been liaisons, but have never been appointed members of any ABCs. I could be incorrect, but to my knowledge, I don't recall it. To me, it seems counterintuitive that council members appointed to an ABC when the council members are the same ones who have to approve such an appointment. My first concern is, are there any legal issues that could jeopardize our city's federal funding? While it may or may not be relevant, the Hatch Act restricts certain political activities of those who work in connection with federally funded programs. The Housing Authority acquires and expands federal HUD money. I know of one example of a government entity not too far from here in recent time that lost significant federal funds because a candidate for office remained on an authority and was on the ballot and did not resign, and that government entity was never able to recoup those federal funds. So I need to be assured that that's an issue because, again, that's a concern. Looking at the housing authorities and the current code of federal regulations, I saw Title 24 states that under conflict of interest, the public housing agency or the BHA may not enter into any arrangement in connection with HCB Housing Choice Voucher Program in which any of the following classes of persons has any interest, direct or indirect, and one of those classes of persons is any public official, member of a governing body, a state or local legislator. There's another conflict that council members have to vote on HUD funding for many programs within the city under community economic development, as well as Bethlehem Housing Authority programs, and we approve an annual budget that includes HUD funding. So I'm just really concerned that I don't want us to jeopardize any HUD funding. Another potential conflict under the Code of Regs is that under planning, zoning, and building laws, each housing project of a housing authority shall be subject to the zoning, sanitary, and building laws, ordinances, or regulations applicable to the locality in which the project is situated. So could there be a conflict that if council has to vote on the said zoning laws or regulations and ordinances, and then we have a member of council that has to vote on that, which is applicable to the housing authority? So I have a lot of legal concerns. I'm not a lawyer, but you know, I when I saw this, I did look up some legal regulations and guidelines, because I just want to make sure that what we're doing is within the language of the law and the spirit of the law. And even if this is legal, I just believe that it really sets its bad precedence. And again, it has nothing to do with the individual. I just don't think it's a good policy. No other cities in the Commonwealth that I know of allow this. I've spoken to three other third-class cities, and they do not allow it, and they think it's bad policy. I believe someone in Allentown was a council member and was on the Housing Authority, but immediately resigned when they realized that there were legal issues regarding it. Residents were appointed to authorities, boards, and commissions to have representation of diverse community members. We're always encouraging residents to join ABCs. This is an opportunity to have community members participate in civic activities. Why would we want to take that away from them by appointing council members to ABCs? Concurrently, council members are elected to serve for a purpose. Our purpose is to enact legislation, adopt resolutions, approve ongoing budgetary items, as well as the annual budget, etc., etc. A separation of power, I think, powers is vital toward democracy and the balance of government. We've seen how detrimental and threatening this lack of separation of powers can be in our country, and we don't want to go there at the local level. City council persons have their own unique roles and responsibilities, as do our appointed authority members, and I believe it's best practice to continue to keep the two separate for many reasons, but especially to avoid a conflict of interest as well as possible loss of federal funds. And while I certainly appreciate Councilwoman Leone's experience, I don't think that's the issue. I myself have over 40 years experience in working with people who are homeless and housing issues. in many, many levels for many, many years. And I myself would never ask to be appointed to the Housing Authority because I think it's a conflict, even though I think my experience would be valuable. I think it's a real conflict, and for that reason, I'm not going to support this.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Councilwoman, please.
If they'd like, if the city would like to, the administration would like to address those concerns, I'm certainly willing to just hang back till we do that.
Well, then I'll turn it over to, I'll ask a couple of the questions then as follow-up to some of the things we heard. Mayor Reynolds and anyone else who wants to address them, we could go kind of one at a time, starting with the conflict and your appointment, so you give us some background.
I think it's probably best if Mr. Sperger just kind of explain some things that probably will answer some questions and then determine whether or not those questions can be answered.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't do spirits. I don't do spirits of the law. But as the law, I don't see anything the problem. I've researched it. I don't see a problem.
Can I ask, have you been in communication with the BHA solicitor? Because the Bethlehem Housing Authority Board has their own solicitor. So was there any...
I did my research.
Understood. And then, so as it relates to some of the potential conflict and some of the other cases that were cited, do you have any reservation that there's any conflict within, that this would be any kind of conflict, having a seated member of City Council appointed as a volunteer on the BHA board?
I don't.
Understood. Mr. Reynolds?
Yeah, and then just a little background, too, is, I mean, I think the conversation would come up a couple weeks ago, I don't know if it was the last meeting, one of the meetings before, when we talked about, you know, the authorities and the boards and commissions and the level of expertise or time. Mr. Connelly, I think it was an interaction that we had, that on some boards you need people with more expertise or time and things like that. I can tell you that there were several people. Well, first I would say is, we need people that are in our housing authority that have time to be engaged in this process. They need to be engaged in choice neighborhoods. They need to be engaged in a lot of what's going on now with voucher utilization and different things having to do with the housing authority. So if you start out in that kind of conversation about, like, can we put somebody on this board? It's not just about finding someone that wants to be on the board. In this case, you're looking for somebody that has the time and the expertise and the interest. I mean, the choice neighborhoods board members are doing things like knocking on doors, getting surveys for choice neighborhoods and things like that. And we talk in this room about how we want to be engaged. But in choice neighborhoods, and Ms. Tullo and Ms. Collins are behind me, I think I saw Ms. Smith's here, she's been to some of the meetings. I know Ms. Kwiatek, Mr. Colon has, Ms. Leone has as well. It is not something that people are really coming out of the woodwork saying, I want to volunteer to be a part of this at the intense level we have. We have a very dedicated group of volunteers, but I'll give you an example. When we went out to that meeting at Wesley Methodist in June, we put out a sign-in sheet for anybody that wanted to volunteer to be a part of the Choice Neighborhoods process, and not one person signed up that were willing to volunteer. And that was a meeting that I thought people were very interested in housing about. So it is a situation that we are looking for people to necessarily be a part of this process that's engaged. Ms. Leone's name also came to us, and I would disagree a little bit with Ms. Leone saying she volunteered. It is like the reason that you saw the support for Ms. Leone to bring the name forward is because of things like the cheers that we just heard and the other people in the community that said this is a person that is willing to be able, that is able to represent us, to able to represent, you know, what who we are as people and what we're looking for as far as the housing authority. So it was not, there were multiple people that we had asked, and then people within the community have reached out to us to say, we think she would be a great fit there in representing our community. And then just to give a little bit of the background, and you might know this, you might not, like the National Housing Act and the New Deal in 1937 created housing authorities. Bethlehem Housing Authority is one of the first ones that opened in 1939. We actually had this referendum about whether or not we were going to accept these funds to build Pembroke Village. But the first chairman of the housing authority was Mayor Pfeiffer. So he's even more of an elected official than a council person was, as the mayor, was the chairman of the housing authority for over a decade while he was mayor, and then afterwards. So it is a situation where from the beginning, and the housing authorities, we've talked about this before, authorities are created, and they were created at a time, especially when we're talking about parking authority, water authority, or housing authority, to make sure that the city avoided moving up against their debt limits. much of which doesn't exist anymore. But it is very important for us, obviously, to work hand in hand going forward. But like I said, we can absolutely answer the questions about this appointment, and Mr. Spurk can answer those legal questions about it. But this originated because people in the community said this is the person that we think would be a good fit under the Housing Authority. And that's why we decided to bring Ms. Leon's name forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Reynolds. Ms. Kuliasak, I'll turn the floor back over to you.
Thank you. I just wanted to make sure that was addressed before I spoke. I am the council liaison to the Bethlehem Housing Authority. I do attend as many of the monthly meetings as I can. I don't have a vote on the authority. However, when I was on the Blighted Property Commission, I did have a vote. So just so people understand, it depends on the authority board or commission and how their bylaws are written, whether or not the liaison from council has a vote. So I've been going to Bethlehem Housing Authority meetings now for 2.5 years, and I would I'm involved in the Choice Neighborhoods project, as the mayor said, and I would agree with Ms. Smith's assessment that there is a need for progressive, thoughtful leadership on the board. I've seen there's a lot of caring people who have served on that board. There's no question about that. However, I do believe that some more progressive, forward-thinking commissioners are necessary on the board. When I first learned about this, I certainly did my due diligence and contacted several people in the administration, with the concerns about conflict, things like that. I think that conflict is really about monetary benefit, and there is no situation in which there would be any monetary benefit for Ms. Leon or for anybody that she's associated with. I think that that's one of the most important things also from an education standpoint to share with people, is that I think that the piece of law that Ms. Kremsey Smith referenced was specifically about having some kind of financial interest in an entity that gets vouchers or things like that. That's the reading that I have of that piece of the law. I am sure that Ms. Collins has no interest in jeopardizing in any way our relationship with HUD, the many great things that they do for our community. So if this was at all a concern, that was not expressed to me at the time. And I do have tremendous respect for Ms. Leon and appreciate her stepping up at this time when, unfortunately, the other folks that were potential weren't able to make that commitment. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Any other comments? Mr. Callahan?
Yeah, I was just looking something up here. So anyways, I this has nothing to do with Councilwoman Leon. I think she would do an awesome job. But in all the years that I've been involved in city government, filing things when my brother was a mayor for 10 years. I don't know if Mr. Reynolds or I could ever recall ever having a city council person on one of these boards. I can't. Do you?
I'd have to think about it. As Ms. Kwiatek just pointed out, sometimes liaisons get voting rights. Like in Allentown, one of the council people, at least one of them, is on the parking authority. So it is something that has gone on. It is not something that, I necessarily think happens often, but as Mr. Spurk said, there's not a conflict. And I think one of the things too is just to add to that, when I have the opportunity, is there's a legal definition of what conflict of interest is. There's a legal definition. We went through the ethics training that explained what a conflict of interest is. Conflict of interest as a term, I think, often gets thrown around as words that don't necessarily match up with what the legal definition of what that term means. We went through that. I think it was one of the questions, Mr. Collin, you had asked the lawyer from Harrisburg, and the lawyer from Harrisburg went over it over and over again, is that there has to be a direct financial benefit to you or an immediate family member. Mr. Stewart, did I get that correct? And so it's got to be a direct financial interest. Now, we've seen that term often get thrown around in a way that is just not consistent with what the legal definition is. There's a difference between people not liking something and there being a conflict of interest. To get back to your original question, Mr. Callahan, I couldn't tell you for certain Like I said, we've seen it in other cities. And the first question that I had when we had the community kind of support for Ms. Leone was I asked Mr. Spurk, can you do the research and tell me whether or not this is something that's able to be done?
Mr. Spurk, did you, so this was just your own research, right? You didn't check with the housing authority?
No, I sort of based on my 46 years as a lawyer, I just did my own research.
Yeah, so I think Ms. Cramsey Smith was referring to this, or I think. This is from the ethics of the Public Housing Authority under conflict of interest for the Public Housing Authority, that ensuring that your public housing agency is ethically run is one of the core responsibilities as a board member. Any conflicts of interest must be disclosed to the PHA and to HUD, who may waive conflicts of interest for good cause. And then item number four, or bullet four under that, states, is a public official, member of the state or local government body, or an immediate family of a public official or member of the state or local government body who exercise functions or responsibilities regarding the PHA. So,
yeah, the,
I think it's pretty
that's
clear.
That's the Housing Authority statute. I'll be happy to talk to your lawyer or Ms. Smith's lawyer.
I don't have a lawyer.
The Pennsylvania state law that authorizes housing authorities says that no council member can be on a housing authority in a first-class city. We're not a first-class city.
Yeah, this doesn't say anything about first-class cities, though.
Well, okay.
It says
that's not state law.
It says is a public official member of the state or local government.
Yeah,
While I'm finishing, if you'd like to read it, I mean, I'll give you.
Yeah, no, like I said, I'm going on my research in my 46 years. I'll look at your phone later. I'll talk to your lawyer.
Yeah.
I'm confident.
No, I think she's doing an awesome job. But I think it sets a dangerous precedent. There are volunteers. These are volunteer boards, and we should appoint members from the public, not elected members of council. We always lament. We always talk about this. We always lament at selecting from a very select group of names, and none is more select than seven of us sitting up here. We have the ability to influence policy, and we should not covet that power all to ourselves. Appointing a council member to another board is really just us trying to attain more power in the city, and we should discourage that. I just think that the Hatch Act, which this was under, was changed in 2016. It doesn't mean a city has to allow elected officials to serve on the boards, only that they aren't permitted by law. But that's the Hatch Act. That's not the Public Housing Authority. I think that I don't think there's any other third-class cities that allow it. Ms. Cramsey Smith checked with Scranton, they do not allow it. So I just, I think that if you look at, we also passed an ethics law or ordinance, the city of Bethlehem did, and years ago. I don't know if Ms. Leone was on that or not, or if she was part of that vote or not. But in it, it talks about the essentialness of avoiding conflicts of interest and even appearances of conflicts of interest. So, I don't know if we should be voting on this until we, A, look at our own ordinance, number two, or B, is look at the public housing authorities. Or you have a chance to look at it, because I read directly from it, and it clearly states a public local official cannot be on that board. So I don't know. I don't know if I think the ethical thing to do is for Ms. Leone to withdraw her name from it until we have more clarity.
Yeah,
from the Housing Authority solicitor, and Mr. Spurk has the opportunity to review that with the solicitor from the Housing Authority. I mean, what I read is directly off of the website under ethics. And I think our own city council ethics that we passed clearly states that, you know, even an appearance of a ethical conflict.
As I said, I don't do spirits, I don't do appearances. I certainly don't.
This is law. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's not, this isn't an appearance. It says it right there.
You said it twice. You said appearance.
Well, I can read it a third time if you don't understand it.
You said appearance of impropriety twice. And I'm just saying, I don't.
Gentlemen, I don't want to spin our wheels.
No,
if there are any more points to be made or questions to be asked,
I would like our solicitor to review it or have an opinion on it. Would you like to look at it? No,
your citation? I'd be happy to.
This isn't my citation. This is pass that down. That's the Public Housing Authority.
For the spirit of what's going on.
And while she's speaking, I just want to finish. So I think this sets a really, really bad precedent. I mean, is what's up next? Appointing a council member to zoning, to planning? It's never been done before. And we have 80,000 people in the city. There's certainly got to be someone else out there that we can appoint to this position instead of one of us. We already have the power over the votes of it. And to have this, I mean, I just think the ethical thing to do is for Ms. Leone to withdraw her name from it.
Do you have any other comments?
I do, but I'll wait for our solicitor, you know, to read it.
First of all, this conflict of interest provision that you are citing to is federal, and it does not prohibit serving. Let me just read it again, because I'm reading it in a very rushed fashion.
HUD is a federal. It's federal, correct?
In particular, this citation? That's what you're directing me to? Right here?
And below it.
So are you saying that this part here is referring to this citation?
Just so everyone can follow along, including myself, can we just state what we're looking at? Because I'm not sure what we're looking at. Please.
If I can just state, I mean, I think I've made my points. I think that it's a really slippery slope. I think it's bad optics. I think that it opens up the Pandora's box. And again, it has nothing to do with the person whatsoever. No other third-class cities that I know of do this. There's people out there in the community that I'm sure would be willing to. The person that is not being reappointed, from my understanding, is very involved with the, I think it's the Parkridge Housing. She lives right on the border of the Parkridge. Works a lot with that housing community and has for many years, so she's very involved in housing. I don't see why there is a need to even not report her if we don't get someone else. I think the lawyers can look at this, but basically it sounds like administration has made the decision as well as Councilwoman Malone, and we can go to the vote. And I just bring this up because I want to make sure we're doing what's best for the city. I don't feel it's best for the city. I also have concerns about us jeopardizing federal funding because I know for a fact that this did happen in another governmental entity not too far from here. So I say at this point we can just go for the vote because I don't think it's worth it to wait for a legal opinion. I think we already have one per Mr. Spurk.
Thank you, Councilman Ramsey Smith. And just for the record, please, that's this. What law was handed to our solicitors to review? That's the state law?
This is
the law that governs housing authorities.
From HUD?
Yes. It's actually HUD Exchange.
Understood.
It's under that website, the HUD Exchange.
Thank you. And that's just from my own understanding. Maybe I follow along so you know what it is.
And the issue that it does state is that there is that someone that's a public official is prevented from voting on housing voucher programs, and again, it's like then what
you know, what's the point if there's going to be an issue of being prevented? A public official is going to be on an authority, but they can't vote on the most important programs that the authority is going to be looking at. But again, I made my point, and I motion we go to a vote.
Thank you. And Attorney Stewart's going to read part of the highlighted portion of what was referenced in the comments.
Yes. It's a section stating, and it has no citation, but it states, Procurement and Housing Choice Voucher Administration. PHA employees or representatives may not participate in the selection or administration of a contract supported by federal funds, including Housing Choice Voucher tenant-based programs, if that person will be awarded the contract, is any member of the immediate family of the awardee, et cetera, is a public official, member of the state or local government body, or in the immediate family of a public official or a member of the state or local government body who exercises functions or responsibilities regarding the PHA. So.
What section is that under?
This is just a web page.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have a citation.
It's under ethics. So.
Well, it is on a page that's titled Skills.
I have it right here if you'd like to see it.
So
you're passing it.
I'm gonna make a couple of comments and then open it up.
I'm not done yet.
Well, Mr. Callahan, please continue on with any other points that you have.
Thank you. So if you'd like to look at that, Mr. So if you'd like to look at it, it's under Skills and Ethics and Conflicts of Interest. What you saw on her piece of paper was cut off. It is. I know it's cut off, but it's not. It doesn't show the subheading. So I think at the very least, what we need to do is table it until we get a legal opinion from the housing authority, from the federal housing authority solicitor, on whether this is legal or not. Because this is this, Mr. You see this here? You see the document?
Yes.
All right. So it's important to recognize that this is under ethics. The category is ethics and conflicts of interest. And again, under conflicts of interest is a public official, member of the state or local government body, that's us, or in the immediate family of a public official or member of the state or local government body who exercises functions or responsibilities regarding the PHA. That's pretty clear. And I'm not a lawyer, Mr. Spurk, but I do know how to read. And I think what we need to do is, I can't believe out of 80,000 people in the city, we can't find someone else that's not on, that has not only what I believe, according to this, is a conflict of interest, but without a doubt, an appearance of a conflict of interest. We have to live and abide by our own council code of ethics that we passed. And one of the parts of that is even an appearance of a conflict. This is a definite conflict according to the, not to the state, but to the federal government HUD, it is. So until we get a direct ruling from HUD, it should not be voted on. And on top of that, our own city council ethics, which we all passed and agreed to, I think Ms. Leone agrees, you know, to it too. I think that there's definitely not only a conflict of interest, but there's definitely an appearance of a conflict of interest. So I would ask to table this until we get clarification, legal clarification. Mr. Spurk said he didn't speak to anybody from the Federal Housing Authority or HUD. It was his own legal opinion. And I think until we hear from them, why would we take the chance of jeopardizing the federal funds going into that that organization? So I would ask that we table this at the minimum, or Ms. Leon do the thing that I think really needs to be done, and ask to have her name recused because of ethics, according to the city council ethics.
Mr. Callahan, I would say, could we continue conversation from all that discussion with all members of council before any motions are introduced?
I just asked that, so I would like that. That's a motion I just made, and I would ask for a second.
So you're actively making the motion to table?
Correct. Until we get legal advice from the Housing Authority, the Federal Housing Authority, which is, I mean, if she's on that board, she's going to be voting on this stuff, and that's exactly what the conflict says.
So the motion on the floor for Mr. Callahan is to table. I'll remind everyone that there is no set date when we motion table, and there's no discussion on the motion if there is a second to table. Attorney Stewart, I'm correct?
It needs to be listed on the next.
It needs to be listed on the next agenda, or else it dies.
Yes.
And there's no discussion on the motion, correct?
Correct.
So the motion on the floor for Mr. Callahan is to table. Is there a second on his motion to table? Hearing no second, the motion dies. I'm going to continue discussion. I just want to say a couple things, then I'll turn to our online membership that are participating. So a couple general things. One is it relates to the city authorities, boards, and commissions. I personally have served on the Human Relations Commission for longer than I've been on city council. I think I've been reappointed by city council unanimously twice since I've been on the Human Relations Commission. This is my ninth year on council. I came on as a member of the Human Relations Commission. My name was brought forward by our previous mayor and our current mayor for reappointment, and both times I was reappointed unanimously. Now, the work of the different boards differ. I'm not going to pretend they all have their own function, they all have their own scope, but as it relates to that, and I know there's conversations that I wasn't on council yet, but I was in this room when we, as was referenced before, about when we throw around conflict of interest and things like that, where there was someone appointed to a board, and then there was this discussion of conflict because of what their professional background was versus what their commitments would be appointed, and then it was simply resolved they would recuse themselves when need be. I've had to recuse myself as a member of the Human Relations Commission at times where I had to do that as a member of that authority, and the Human Relations Commission uses a solicitor, a city lawyer, a city council is a lawyer, as Mr. Spurk is a lawyer, as the Bethlehem Housing Authority has a lawyer that advises them, and I know they're no stranger, especially this year, to discussions about conflict of interest and things like that, where their own solicitor has investigated and weighed in on things. As it relates to the work of the Bethlehem Housing Authority in terms of what they actually do as a board, as I've referenced before, until I was 13 years old, I lived in our Marvine Pembroke neighborhood. I grew up in our Bethlehem Housing Authority. I'm a proud product of our Bethlehem Housing Authority. I used to serve as the council liaison and have a lot of respect for the work that all those volunteers do, and would invite someone like Councilwoman Leone to continue that work. There's a lot going on, as we've heard, not just tonight, previously, as it relates to choice neighborhoods and really what the future of, whether it's Marvine Pembroke, whether it's Linfield, whether it's Park Ridge, whether it's assessing all the assets that the Housing Authority has. And I've referenced before kind of a standard, and what standard do we want to hold our volunteers to? And I think Councilwoman Leone fits the bill for someone that we're looking for in terms of what their motivations are, what their background is, what drives them to want to volunteer their time serving in this capacity, again, as a volunteer on our Housing Authority board. I don't have it in front of me to read verbatim, but to restate what was brought up by another member of council, we do have a conflict of interest ordinance that we have voted on that relates to campaign finance donations, calling for recusal, also calling for recusal if someone has a certain interest or family has a certain interest in a business that's before council for business. And there's also the wording that talks about a perception of conflict, and that's getting a little more subjective, of course, and I'm not going to even pretend to try to litigate that. I am open to hear from all members of council before we talk about any potential motions to postpone and things like that, as we have our own council solicitor who is more than capable, but was not, we don't have an opinion tonight from our own council solicitor.
That's why I hesitate.
And I understand, Mr. Callahan. So we definitely heard the opinion of Mr. Spurk, and I have full faith and confidence in his opinion also as our city solicitor.
and former city council solicitor for many years. I will turn it over to if there's any other comments from members of council who wanted to weigh in as we continue discussion on the appointment tonight. Was there, I'll start with anyone who hasn't had a chance to have the floor yet. Is there anyone else who had comment who hasn't spoken yet?
I would.
Councilwoman Laird?
Yes. Let me start by saying that I think that Councilwoman Leone would be an absolute benefit to have served in this position on the Housing Authority Board. And I really appreciate that we're having this conversation about conflicts and making sure that we're doing things by the book. I don't think anyone from the administration, on council, or on the authority wants to put funding for these programs that are so important at risk, or you know, have any potential hiccups in how things go. So I think taking the time now to make sure that everything is squared away and recognize if there are any things that we need to look out for is really good. I would like to see an opinion, if possible, from our own solicitor. And, you know, maybe even a comment from the Housing Authority solicitor in support of this appointment before we move on with it. You know, if it all comes back clear, I do support this appointment. But so I don't know if we're at a point of being able to make a motion now. I think everyone spoke, but has everyone had a chance to speak before I do anything?
I mean, everyone has had a chance, but I think there's other comment that members of council are queued up for. Ms. Laird, I appreciate your asking if you wanted to turn the floor back over to other members of council before we discuss any action here.
Yeah, sure. I'll turn it back over. Thanks.
Thank you. Ms. Leo?
So I was on council when we did the conflict of interest ordinance. Actually, I was the one who pushed for recusal as opposed to just disclosure, and I didn't want any exemptions from any type of donation, and I believe I wanted it to be any financial contributions given, because that's how much ethics do mean to me. So in the spirit of that, there is a definition of conflict of interest, and as governmental leaders, I think that is our obligation to dispel what is a made-up thing versus what is our legal law. I do not financially benefit from anything Section 8. I do live below the poverty line. I apologize for that, but I do not. I'm not part of a voucher program. I'm not a developer. I would not procure a property that would be part of a voucher program. So there's literally like no way that I would financially benefit from this, and I don't know, I wouldn't be part of any procurement process that the law that was referred to would be governing, and I wouldn't be part of a procurement process. So I just want to, as you guys consider what you're going to do when you write your legal opinions, I mean, my financial disclosure is on the website. It says via disability, that's it. That's all you got from me. But I do have a question for our solicitor, if you're going to continue to look. Can you look into the library board? Because I do sit on the library board, and I vote on the budget here and over there, and the library gets grants from the city. So if I can't serve here, I can't serve there. It should be even across the board.
I'm going to turn to Attorney Stewart for comment.
While I appreciate the opportunity to give a more thorough response, I will return once again to the concept of conflict of interest, and I do think it's in good faith. I think that people are asking questions, people want to make sure we don't make any missteps and jeopardize any funding, but the core concept of conflict of interest is self-dealing, and reading now this federal citation that you handed me, I have the actual citation, and it really looks to make sure that somebody is not self-dealing. So you can
in my opinion, sit on council and sit on a board where maybe you're looking at the same thing. If you are not personally benefiting from it, or a member of your family is not personally benefiting from it, because that, again, is the core concept of conflict of interest. So, as I said, I appreciate the opportunity to give a more fleshed out response, but preliminarily, that is my view.
Thank you, Attorney Stewart. Mr. Callahan?
I couldn't agree with Councilwoman Laird more. I think, it's totally legal, and the federal government, the housing authority comes back and says that yes, it is legal, I would be happy to vote for her to be on the board. There's a lot of other things to try besides granting contracts. There's the possibility of having neighbors being preferential treatment. I'm not saying that she would, but there's lots of different possibilities of giving preferential treatment as a board member to people who might be her neighbors to get a housing voucher. I mean, there's a lot. It's just not awarding contracts. There's a lot of different things there. So all I'm asking for is Mr. Spurk said he did not check with, it was his legal opinion, he didn't check with any lawyers or solicitors from HUD. And I think our solicitor actually just said that this is her preliminary opinion. I couldn't agree with Ms. Laird more. Why don't we wait for what's the harm in waiting another meeting until we get a definitive judgment, and our solicitor has a moment to review it and talk to the solicitor of the housing authority. I don't know what the rush is, to be honest with you.
Any other comments? Councilman Ramsey-Smith?
I just want to clarify. I mean, the reason I bring this up is I'm concerned about possible legalities and conflict of interest, because conflict of interest being a council member and being on an authority, nothing personally, I am not alluding that any person, Councilwoman Leone or anyone on any authority would be out for their own self-interest at all. The conflict of interest I'm looking at is being a council member and serving on, especially an authority that is so important. I mean, they're all important, but the Bethlehem Housing Authority deals with multi-millions in federal money. And that is, that's real and that's important. And I don't want to see anything jeopardized as far as our funding goes or any kind of conflict of interest. And again, I think that it is, even if it's totally legal, I stand with it. I think it's bad policy. I don't think it's been done, to my knowledge, in the past for authorities like this to have voting members who are also council members, because I think it's a gray area. We have to vote on things that come from the Bethlehem Housing Authority, and as a council member, then you have to recluse yourself, and possibly as a council member, you have to recluse yourself from voting on things as an authority member. So in my mind, I just don't think it's worth it. I think that it's important that we have citizen residents of this community serve on our authorities, boards, and commissions, as has been the case in historically in the case. And that's, I just want to clarify, that's where I'm coming from. Thank you,
Councilwoman. So I'll point out to the calendar, our council meetings are the first and third Tuesday of every month. This month has five Tuesdays, so our next meeting would be 3 weeks from today. Attorney Stewart, do you think in the next 3 weeks you would be able to issue an opinion, potentially, if there is any conflict as it relates to the appointment of Councilwoman Leone to the Housing Authority Board?
Absolutely.
Understood. Is there anything new that anyone on council wants to introduce? I will make the motion to postpone the resolution to appoint Councilwoman Leone, move it to the next council meeting, which would be Tuesday, July the 6th here in Town Hall, put it on that agenda.
August.
Thank you, Mayor Reynolds. August 6th meeting, and then in that time, our council solicitor would pen an opinion as to the if we're violating, concurring with Mr. Spurk or any other opinion you have about the if we're violating any statutes as it relates to a council member serving on the Bethlehem Housing Authority. So the motion's on the floor to postpone.
And I think that's a very fair motion.
Second by Mr. Callahan. So any discussion on the motion to postpone? Councilwoman?
Still going to recuse. Still not making so much.
Understood. Any other discussion? Mr. Miller, please call the roll on the motion to postpone. Ms. Laird?
Sorry.
That's okay.
Will our attorney's research also look at the point about that some of us do and have served on other boards or commissions, so can that be part of the research of, you know, can we continue doing what we've been doing, not just this specific role?
Attorney Stewart is noting it in her notes, also give an opinion on that.
Thank you.
Any other discussion on the motion? Mr. Callahan?
I don't think the issue is the legality according to the Hatch Act, because it is legal to be on other boards. So it's, I think the question here is not our ethics code, it's the code of the Federal Housing Authority.
Attorney Stewart is tasked with giving us her opinion on the broad legality that we would not be violating any statutes.
And I'll touch upon all of those concerns.
And if possible, if we could get a letter from the solicitor from the Housing Authority stating that is their opinion that it is ethical and it is legal for her to serve on both boards, because I think that's the question. It's not what we think, it's what the I don't want to jeopardize any money going to the Bethlehem Housing Authority. I think that's the thing. I think she'd do a great job. I don't want to lose the money, and I don't want to, if she got voted in without an approval from, or the go ahead from the Federal Housing Authority, I would then send a letter to them from me as a council person to act on it or decide on it, because I think it's pretty clear, according to what I read, that it's not allowed.
I will reach out to parts.
Thank you.
Any other discussion about the postponement? Mr. Miller, please call the roll.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatkowski?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Abstain.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Motion passes 6-0 with one recusal. The resolution to appoint will be on the next city council agenda. Mr. Mayor, we're still on your report.
Yeah, just a couple of things to finish that conversation. One is I would highly encourage, if possible, conversations with solicitors before council meetings are always helpful to be able to understand, because oftentimes, as is the nature of legal research, as is the nature of what the job is, especially for our own solicitors. So in case that something came up that Ms. Stewart didn't know and she had a question and Mr. Spurk had to go research himself. So whatever we can do to be able to not bring up questions for the first time here just makes it easier for all of us to make decisions, to be able to follow things. It's hard to know what somebody's bringing up beforehand. It is not a problem for us delaying this by 3 weeks. I think between Ms. Stewart and Mr. Spurk, they're able to come back with legal opinions. Mr. Spurk has obviously already given his. Ms. Stewart, represents city council here as well. I think that, there are members of the Bethlehem Housing Authority that live in Bethlehem Housing. So, they're making decisions all the time about what's going on in their own properties. But it is a conversation that if it makes everybody feel better. But I would just say, it is, and I would say it's a little bit silly to think that the people behind us, Ms. Collins, Ms. Cetullo, Mr. Spurk, have not spent a lot of time thinking about whether or not this was going to, they're the people that are applying for federal funds for Chase neighborhoods and things like that. So those are all things that they have taken under consideration and they spend every day thinking about. So it's not as if those aren't concerns, or it's not as if Mr. Spurk, being the lawyer, as he said, for the city, or Ms. Collins, who's also a lawyer, or Ms. Satullo, who is a better researcher than anybody else I've ever met, haven't looked through these things from our point of view and our level of confidence. With that being said, I'll allow the steward the opportunity to go do her own research here. I think it's fine by us, and if it delays it 3 weeks, that's not an issue.
If I may, thank you very much for that, Mayor. And I will say that seeing this on the agenda, just for my own edification, I did research this matter ahead of time independently, and I came to the same conclusion as Solicitor Spurk. However, in the context of this council meeting, certain very specific questions have come up, and I do think council is entitled to specific answers to those specific questions, and I'll be happy to deliver an opinion on that.
And like I said, that's completely understandable. And I mean, that was the same manner I would take if I was a council person. It's just allowing those conversations to go on as much as possible so we all have that information beforehand, I think it's just the best way to make decisions for all of us. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Reynolds.
That concludes my report. Thank you.
Moving on to our
Mr. Long. Can I ask the mayor a question on his comments?
Mr. Callahan, I'd really like to move forward. If you have a very brief question.
It is. So, Ms. Collins and Ms. Satullo, in your research, did you check with the housing authority legally to see if this was legal? Because if the answer is yes, we could vote on it now.
Mr. Callahan, we've already, yeah. I'll answer this question.
Mr. Reynolds just said, I'm
interjecting.
She's one of the best researchers ever. Did she research it?
Mr. Callahan.
I'm asking a question.
I will turn the floor back over, but to imply that somehow we're going to backtrack on what we just took action on and put it back on the agenda, that's misleading.
I'm asking her if she researched it. And I'm going to turn the floor back over to Mr. Reynolds. She's a fabulous researcher, right?
Mr. Callahan.
Ms. Satullo, did you research it?
Mr. Callahan,
I'm asking that question,
and your question will be answered in 2 minutes. But again, I believe it's misleading to say we can vote on it right now when we've our council unanimously just voted to postpone. So I don't want to put the impression out there that we could vote on it right now.
Did you research it? Did any of you reach out to HUD? It's a simple question. Yes or no?
Mr. Cole, can I ask you a question?
No, I got the floor. I got the floor. Excuse me.
Gentlemen, we're all talking. We're all talking over each other.
I have the floor right now.
The question has been asked.
I asked the question. I asked Ms. Collins and Ms. Satullo. Did anybody reach out to the housing authority? Yes or no?
Mr. Reynolds.
Simple.
Mr. Cologne.
Did you?
Ms. Collins, did you reach out? Mr. Reynolds. May I ask you a question, please, as the president? Yes or no?
It's a very simple question.
Mr. Callahan, we've already
broken. The fact that you won't answer it tells me something's astray.
Point of order. Is this in order? May I please ask for a ruling from our solicitor as to whether or not this is a time for another question? We had just completed a vote. We were moving down our agenda, and I believe it was time for us to move on to our next piece of business. If we're allowed to just continue to interject questions, then we're not moving we're not in order.
I don't recall whether you recognize.
Mr. Reynolds had concluded his report. Mr. Callahan had asked if he could ask a quick question relative to the mayor's report, to his comments, which I had advised Mr. Callahan if he had a quick question. I would hear his question.
Mr. Cologne, may I ask you a question?
Yes, you may, Mr. Reynolds.
And I'm asking this as the president of city council. I mean, there is a pattern of Mr. Callahan asking questions and interrupting the responses or interrupting us when we have the microphone.
I didn't get the answer.
Right
there.
President.
I'm being so disrespectful, Brian.
Excuse me.
President Cologne, I have a legitimate question for you going forward.
Please.
And that's what you believe is the best strategy for us to be able to answer questions or give responses where there's not interruptions that lower the decorum of this body in a way that is embarrassing. And I'm asking you between now and 3 weeks from now if you could necessarily do any particular research yourself or consider any options, because as we are asked questions, as we are given the opportunity to, as I think I said at one of the previous meetings, it's as if our answers can't even stand as our own answers, as if the questions and the answers are decided, and if we start to give an answer that Mr. Callahan disagrees with, he interrupts our particular answer. In this particular case, we stand by everything that we said as far as what this is, as the research that was done about whether or not this was going to be something that was going to violate any type of law, or if it was something that was going to put anything in danger going into the future. With that being said, I'm going to conclude my report by saying that we are at the same place that we were a few minutes ago, and we will wait for the conversation in 3 weeks.
Understood.
Thank you, Mr. Klum. That concludes my report.
I'm going to accept that as the mayor's answer as relative to their researching the legality of Councilwoman Leone being appointed. Mr. Palinet, I'm going to count that as your question being answered. By the mayor, I already broke our order, as was referenced by one member of council.
I asked a direct question. Did they reach out to anybody?
Understood.
And I didn't get an answer yet.
Whether the answer, Mayor Reynolds has concluded his report, we historically don't open up discussion during the mayor's report. So I did want to give the mayor an opportunity to address that. He's addressed it how he's chosen to. Whether you accept that or not, Mr. Callahan, I'm not here to litigate. I am here to move forward with our agenda tonight.
I didn't ask Mr. Reynolds. I asked the two department, or I asked the department head, if anybody reached out to HUD. That's it. Yes or no?
And Mayor Reynolds has answered as he's chosen to answer. And that concludes the discussion. We're going to move on with our agenda this evening, Mr. Callahan.
Thank you for the no answer, Mr. Reynolds. Appreciate it.
I'll turn to our Finance Committee Chair, Councilwoman Cramsey Smith.
Finance Committee met earlier tonight on Tuesday, July 16, 2024 at 6 p.m. in Town Hall. 8 budget adjustments were on the agenda. The committee reviewed these adjustments and voted for them to be placed on Council's agenda this evening. Those budgetary adjustments will be in the next order of business under new ordinances. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilwoman Cramsey Smith. We don't have any ordinances for final passage tonight, so we'll move on to new ordinances. I'll ask Mr. Miller to read Bill 19-2024.
Ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2024 capital budget for non-utilities. Bill number 19-2024 is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Any discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
And Mr. Klum?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Bill 20-2024.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the Community Development Block Grant Budget for 2024. Bill number 20-24 is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Any discussion? I'll start with Councilman Francis.
Thank you. Just to clarify that 9B and 9C were already discussed in detail at a recent public meeting. So these are just transfers of funds. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Ms. Kwiatek, did you also have comments?
That's what I was going to say. Thank you.
Understood. Any other comments from members of council? Mr. Miller, call the roll.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
And Mr. Klum?
Aye. Passed 7-0. Bill 21-2024.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the Community Development Block Grant Budget for 2024. Bill number 21-2024 is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Any discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
And Mr. Klum?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Bill 22-2024.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the general fund budget for 2024. Bill number 22-2024 is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Discussion?
I just want to clarify that this is a donation from Lehigh Valley Partnership in the amount of $15,000 to be used once it's determined if we are designated as a World Heritage Site for a celebration.
Any other discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek.
Aye.
Ms. Laird.
Aye.
Ms. Leung.
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne.
Aye. Passes 7-0. Bill 23-2024.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the general fund budget for 2024. Bill number 23-2024 is sponsored by Ms. Leung and Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Discussion?
And just to clarify that this is has to do with mercantile tax management. There's been an increase in mercantile tax revenues resulting in an increase in the collection fees.
Thank you. Any other discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek.
Aye.
Ms. Laird. Ms. Laird.
Aye, sorry.
Ms. Leung.
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne.
Aye. Passes 7-0. No need to apologize, Councilwoman Laird. We're not going anywhere. Bill 24-2024.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the general fund budget for 2024. Bill number 24-2024 is sponsored by Ms. Leung and Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Discussion? Council?
And I'll just clarify that this is a grant from Pennsylvania DCED for $20,000 for facade improvements in the north side.
Thank you. Any other discussion from members of council? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leung?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Bill 25-2024.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the general fund budget for 2024. Bill number 25-2024 is sponsored by Ms. Leung and Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Discussion? Councilman?
And this is the use of investment income to send 9 firefighter cadets to firefighting academy in Harrisburg because the Allentown Academy is not occurring anymore this year, and that will help us to get our firefighter department up to par personnel wise.
Thank you. Any other discussion from members of council? Mayor Reynolds, can you speak a little bit on how this impacts fire departments?
Absolutely, and I was not here at the Finance Committee, but I really want to just thank Chief Reich. I know Captain Griffin is here and Deputy Bear is here as well, but I also wanted to thank, and she may have been thanked for, Ms. Sahaki and HR. One of the things that have gone on in the past is, you know, obviously there's only been one Allentown Fire Academy, which is kind of our chosen one, and the group of individuals I just mentioned, and as I said, I know Captain Griffin and Deputy Bear are here, have worked really, really hard over the past 2 months to be able to send these cadets, to be able to get them at the beginning of next year, to avoid having to send a larger class in January, where we might have had to send, who knows, 13, 14, 15. So the ability to get these cadets 6 months earlier is going to have a huge benefit. I mean, we've talked a lot about, you know, what our numbers are and, you know, kind of what our showing up to work number is through a variety of resignations and retirements and things like that. And that's easier said than done, being able to fill those. But I just want to thank, and I know Mr. Jimenez showed up before as well to show support. You know, the union has just been incredibly helpful in those conversations as well. We've met multiple times about this to try to pull this off. This is not something that we've necessarily done before, sent in this middle of the year academy. But like I said, we've been doing a lot of work, and I just want to thank all those individuals within the department. Start with Chief Reich, but Captain Griffin, Deputy Bear, Mr. Jimenez, everybody else from the union for all of their hard work here. And, you know, we're hopeful in the future, talking to Allentown, knock on wood, that there's the potential that they might be doing 2 academies a year in the future if they're planning for it. So that's a potential in the future, but we are we're very excited about this, and we really appreciate Council's support. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other discussion before we open it up for vote? Miller, call the roll.
Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek.
Aye.
Ms. Laird.
Aye.
Ms. Leung.
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
And Mr. Plum.
Aye. Passes 7-0. Bill 26-2024.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the general fund budget for 2024. Bill number 26, 2024, sponsored by Ms. Leona, Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Discussion? Councilwoman.
And this is another good piece of news. We're going to be hiring two new housing inspectors, and the cost is basically zero because it's balanced with the revenues that we get from the inspections. And this is a great thing because we're actually 3 months behind on inspections at this point, which is really slowing the process of home buying. And as we know with the housing crisis, that's really not good. So we'll have two additional housing inspectors, and I think that's a great thing for the city.
Any other discussion from members of council?
And just to add, that's budget neutral because these positions actually bring in revenue. We're adding positions, but we're not adding, we'll be actually adding revenue, not cost.
Thank you. Any other discussion from members of council? Call the roll, please.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Callahan?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Moving on to resolutions, resolution 10A.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the sale of approximately 1 acre of land known as Tax Parcel ID L4550501E in the Township of Allen, Northampton County, by the Bethlehem Authority to Michael S. and Pamela Eisenreich is approved, and that appropriate officials are hereby authorized to execute any and all necessary documents. Resolution sponsored by Ms. Leone, Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Discussion on the resolution.
Thanks. We did have one commenter earlier in the evening sort of ask, you know, why we wouldn't use this piece of land for affordable housing. And so I don't know if Mr. Vascola or somebody just wants to talk a little bit about the uniqueness of this land, that first of all, it's not even in Bethlehem, right? It's in Allen Township. And it's not necessarily developable for us.
It's not even in our municipality.
Exactly, so really it would be not a possibility for us to, this is a sensible thing to do, you think?
Yes, I mean, Steve Repash is here with the Bethlehem Authority. They are the owner of record of all the water assets, including real estate. This is just a piece of real estate. There are no water assets here, per se. It was purchased when the city took over the East Allen Township Municipal Authority. That was dissolved. The city took it over. There were several well stations. This is in a pocket, I call it a pocket neighborhood residential development that the then Township Municipal Authority owned, that we then kind of inherited or bought. And it's just a vacant lot, real estate. So, again, it's outside the city. So, it really is of no use to us at present or future. So, we'll turn it back over to a private developer to build a house. It's a residential neighborhood.
Thank you.
Any other discussion from members of council? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10B.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, in accordance with the Municipal Records Manual, hereby authorizes the disposal of public records in the Department of Financial Services as set forth in Exhibit A. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Any discussion on the resolution? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10C.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and Controller and or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement to effectuate the transfer of the city-issued handgun assigned to Sergeant Bradford Jones, a retired city police officer. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Any discussion on the resolution? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
I'm sorry, are we on 10C?
Yes.
Nay.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Resolution passes 6-1. Resolution 10B.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and controller and/or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute all documents and agreements with Spots, Stevens, and McCoy to perform a required risk and resilience assessment of the city's water system. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Discussion? Call the roll.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10E.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and controller and/or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute agreements and documents as deemed necessary by the city solicitor with Via Media to provide police recruitment internet advertising. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and controller and/or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with ArtsQuest for the 2024 Pizza Fest. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Discussion? Call the roll.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. 10G.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and controller and/or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with Bradbury Sullivan LGBT Community Center for 2024 Lehigh Valley Pride. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10-E.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, the mayor and controller and/or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an amended use permit agreement with ArtsQuest to add another date to its 2024 Steel Stacks Summer Concert Series. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. 10-I.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and the controller and/or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute Amendment Number 2 to lease agreement between the City of Bethlehem and Allen Beth Associates Limited Partnership and such other agreements and documents as are deemed necessary by the solicitor according to the terms and conditions indicated for the purpose of renewing the lease term and setting forth the rent due to the city during the renewal term. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Discussion? We'll call roll.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10J.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and controller are authorized and directed to execute all application forms necessary to apply for a State Department of Community and Economic Development grant for construction of sidewalks located in the Northside Live neighborhood and the Southside Business District, and that the mayor and controller are authorized to execute necessary agreements and documents. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Discussion? I had one quick question. I know sometimes we have these resolutions after we've already received an award as a pass-through. Could somebody just clarify, this is where we're applying for this money? We have not been awarded this money yet. Can you just give us an idea of what the timeline is of when we could expect a decision to come from the state?
They are due on July.
Do you mind just going on a microphone to be picked up?
This is for the PADCD multimodal grant. They require the resolution for us to be able to submit as part of our grant application. They are due on July 31st. I really don't know how long it will take them to review them.
Understood. Thank you. Any other questions? We'll call the roll. Thank you.
Ms. Kramsky Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatkowski?
Aye.
Ms. Lair?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm? Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10-K.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and Controller are authorized and directed to execute all application forms necessary to apply for a State Department of Community and Economic Development grant for West Broad Street renovations, and that the Mayor and the Controller are authorized to execute necessary agreements and documents. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Kramsky Smith.
Any discussion?
And a quick question.
Ms. Kwiatkowski.
I'm sorry. is this something different than the Broad Street activation plan that we received the federal funds for, or is this to get some more funding for that?
It is a match required for the money we had received. Now, some of that match can be city staff time and things like that. That obviously there will be a significant amount of it over a year and a half or so, probably. But this is just simply another opportunity to be able to have those match dollars rather than just our staff time or any other capital dollars or any other money that we can put towards that individual match for us.
Great, thank you.
Any other questions? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Grayson Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatkowski?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Callahan?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Resolution passes 7-0. That concludes tonight's agenda. Get home safe, everyone. Have a safe music festival.